like to pull out some how-to moments from horror if I can, and that really does have some good ideas for you.
It's interesting to notice here in the last several years how many movies come out that are set pre-smartphone.
Yeah.
And you realize really the only reason they're set pre-smartphone is so that doesn't get in the way of their narrative.
Right.
Yes.
That's the quickest way to work around it. Well, we'll just move it to before that.
Right. 1988, here we come.
This guy is nuts. Why? Is he talking like a duck?
Ring, ring, ring. Pick up the phone. We're finally getting around to a makeup episode after months and months, so we apologize in advance. But welcome to the Fright Club podcast, and she is Hope Madden.
He's George Wolf.
And we got a special guest, friend of the show, FOFC, friend of Fright Club, returning.
This is really close to spelling something else, actually. So.
And we'll get to Jamie here in a minute. But last time, we had a lot of fun, as we always do, with a great crowd at Gateway Film Center at Fright Club Live. And we talked about Parasites, and we showed Splinter. I think everybody, first of all, we were surprised by how many people had not seen Splinter.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I remember there have been a number of times over the years where I've considered programming that movie, and I just thought, well, everybody's seen it, which is not what we tend to try to do at Fright Club. And then I just caved because it's so much fun and creepy, and I think it's just a great low budget. And of course, Shea Whigham. So anyway, and I was really surprised by how few people had seen it.
But they dug it.
Yes, everybody loves that movie.
Yeah, they dug it, and we had a great conversation about Parasites.
We
really
did.
How can you not? When you're talking about Parasites, it's just fun.
It is.
It's so happy-go-lucky. So that was great, and we have more fun stuff coming up at Gateway Film Center here soon. In fact, we just had a great announcement drop yesterday about a great new series that you and a very special friend curated.
That's right. And it's called, what's it called, George?
It is called, it's called Femme Fatalities, which is a great title. I would say that even if I didn't think of it.
That's right. When we were first kicking this idea around, George, I was talking about it with Chris Hamill, who's a president and programmer at Gateway Film Center. And George was the one who came up with the idea for the title, because you're the guy that we go to for titles.
Yeah, between that and Obstacle Corpse,
yeah.
I think I have now, at almost 60 years old, found my calling. I just walk around and wait for people to need titles for things.
That's right.
And Femme Fatalities.
Femme Fatalities.
But you guys are doing the hard work.
That's right. I got to, well, that was really hard. I got to co-curate this program, and it's a couple of months long. And it's a celebration of women who make horror. And I got to co-curate it, which means I got to meet Jen Wexler.
Yeah.
That was the coolest thing. So, who made The Ranger. And then also The Sacrifice Game. Two amazing, brilliant horror films.
Yeah, Sacrifice Game is really still pretty new. And
it's people, it's on Shudder right now.
So if you haven't checked it out yet,
do it. Yeah, it came out around Christmas because it's a Christmas film. And it's super good. It's got this amazing 70s throwback vibe that I just absolutely love. And The Ranger is like this punk rock sort of cabin in the woods slasher, which is super, super fun as well. Watch them both. So we got to co-curate this series. Every week they're going to show another movie that is made by women, horror film made by women. And one of my favorite things about this program is that they're going to show a feature, but they're also going to show a short.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it is the short that was the proof of concept. So, for example, we're going to show The Babadook, and the short that they're going to show first is Monster, which is a proof of concept for The Babadook, which is a really great short film that a lot of people missed. So a whole bunch of those, but then also sometimes it's just a different pairing. If that filmmaker didn't make shorts, then we show something else, another really cool short film that you might have missed. By a different, which let us include a lot more women filmmakers.
Yeah,
in
and
the
this
program.
Is something, the shorts aspect is something we've started to do in Fright Club Live as well, which is great because we love short films.
We do love short films, and it's just a way, you know, people don't get to see them very often,
right.
And very often the filmmaker never gets to see it on a big screen.
On a big screen, right.
So that's a fun thing, too, that we get to do. And in fact, they're going to show Obstacle Corpse,
nice.
May the 22nd. I'm really honored and a little humbled, actually, to be included in this list of filmmakers. And when we show it, we are going to world premiere our latest short film, which is literally still in post-production, called Basement Buddy.
So talk about a hard deadline. It better be done.
It'll be done. It'll be done. So the whole thing is just super exciting. I'm really, really excited.
It can get,
I'm excited to see the movies that we have programmed.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be really, really, really cool and fun to see.
Yeah, if you want to check out the whole lineup, well, we've got it on our socials, right?
And you can also find it at gatewayfilmcenter.org.
Yeah, so good stuff coming up. Okay, are we caught up?
I think we are.
All right, so let's let's welcome in FOFC.
That's right.
Jamie Ray from the Fave 5 from Fans podcast. You were supposed to be on here months ago. Hope got extremely sick.
I did.
And we had to cancel,
ugly.
And we're finally getting around to having you back. So welcome.
It was.
Chomping at the bit to be back on this show. You guys are just the most amazing. And I know you hate for me to say this, but you guys inspired me to do my show.
Aww.
And inspire me with every episode. So
well,
thank you.
You do a great job.
Thank you. George and I are going to figure that out later today.
Yeah,
that's
right after this. Jamie and I are going to talk about our favorite Flintstones episodes.
For the Fave Five.
For your
fans
and
podcast.
Mono a mono.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Really looking forward to it. Got my notes right here, but that's
right.
Later.
That's right.
So,
and you know what I'm thinking? Jamie, I think you might be our most frequent return guest. I think that we've had you on Fright Club more often than any other co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think so.
I'm double honored. This is, I think, my third time.
I think
we did the horror ones, which was really fun, and then we did, gosh, what was the other one we did?
It's sometimes hard to remember because often we bounce back and forth, and so a lot of times the topics in my head were on yours and not ours.
That's right. But this time we're talking about phones, and was that your idea?
It almost always is.
Okay.
It's almost the
we let them do the work.
The idea is okay. He just comes up with great ideas. And I'm like, oh yeah, we've not done that before.
No, it's good.
It is. It's a good one because there are a lot of horror films that either are based on the idea of a creepy phone call, or there happens to be a super creepy phone call in the movie.
Right.
And so it was a really great topic.
Yeah, which I think is cool because looking at both of our lists. Jamie has a top five, and we have a top five. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Some based around, the entire thing is based around a phone call. You can probably guess about a couple of those. But some aren't, and it's good to talk about those as well.
Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, because there have been so many creepy phone calls in movies, and then looking back at some of the older films and how it's changed so much. Of course, now we have cell phones, and we're doing exactly what we're doing here with like Zoom or Google Chats. So the phone call has actually changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to talk about this. I know what some people will automatically go to, and I always go a little bit different. So
I like that.
We'll see.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
And it also gets us a chance to educate the younger about the rotary phones.
That's right.
And things that we had back in the Stone Age.
That's right.
Speaking of
we're
the Flintstones.
So right. That is one of the. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Hello, the screen. No, I'm sorry. I'm on a podcast right now. Okay. Bye. All right. Go ahead.
That was one of those old landlines, wasn't it?
Was.
I saw
yes,
that.
It was.
Picking up the phone. Okay.
That's a rotary phone. He has one.
So
my grandmother's phone.
We've got two lists, and there's no overlap here.
No.
So you are zigging while we're zagging.
That's
I
right.
like it.
That's
I
right.
Like it.
Yeah.
All right. So who's starting?
Well, we always start with our guest, which seems polite, but it means that the last one is me. That's the real reason.
That's the real reason. Okay, so number.
But we should start with Jamie has some honorable mentions.
Yeah.
We have some honorable mentions.
Perfect.
So why don't we start there, Jamie? What are your honorable mentions?
So I have two of them. The first is Sorry Wrong Number from 1948. Which is a beautiful film with the legendary Barbara Stanwyck.
Yeah.
And this was based off of Louise Fletcher's radio play that I think was on Suspense. But I've been really into a lot of old radio shows lately. So this is a great film where a woman who's basically cut off from the outside world, she's the daughter who's been bedridden of this really rich guy, and she overhears a phone call with a sinister plot to commit murder, but nobody wants to believe her. So is it really happening? Can she save herself? Can she save the person? You got to find out.
I don't know that, and now I'm excited to see it. I've never seen that movie, so I'm
really
absolutely
black and white. It's beautiful. So we go from black and white to my other honorable mention, which was Alfred Hitchcock's foray into the 3D world. Well, he did Dial M for Murder from 1954.
Yeah,
so great. That's a great one.
Like, thank you. Most people are like 3D. Did he do 3D? Well, it's because they couldn't quite get the process down back in the 50s. So most of the theaters only played it in 2D.
Mm-hmm.
And back then they had to get that, they had two different realms that would play over each other. So you could see how it was kind of a technical. But again,
we've actually seen this movie in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a Gateway Film Center does a Hitchcocktober every year, and most years they include a 3D print of Dial M for Murder.
Really?
Yeah. It's,
oh, my God. Now super I want to come cool. even more.
You got to do it, man. You got to do it.
That's a great one, though.
Thank you. Thank you. So, again, the beautiful Grace Kelly, again, overhears a phone call, but this time it's targeted about her from her. And again, how did she score this guy? How did he score this girl, Ray Milland? And is he really trying to kill her? Again, no one believes her. And it comes to the very end before you find out what happens. A true Hitchcockian epic. So,
it is. It is one of his gems.
And a little more crossover. If you remember when it was referenced in the Flintstones, they called it Dial M for Murderousness, which I loved.
Oh, God. We're going to have
fun. Look at George pulling out the Flintstone references.
This is my life all day, every day, Jamie.
You and Tina should start a support group. But what about y'all? What's your honorable mention?
So one of them is 976 Evil, which is a terrible movie, but it's a lot of fun to watch.
Is that Edward Burns?
Yeah.
Edward Burns.
And then the other one is not the American remake, but the original Takashi Miike. As you know, I have a weakness for Miike. His One Missed Call. I enjoy that film. It's not one of his best, but it's not one of his worst, but he's made 117 films. So, if you...
They're not all going to be gems.
No. But those were our two.
Thought that the Halle Berry had one called The Call.
Oh, that's
where she was
right.
like a 911 operator that was surprisingly effective, sort of a B-movie vibe.
Yeah,
you know?
I like that. Yeah, I did. It was an interesting, like a 911 alert call. Yeah. And there's a lot of actually really, really good advice in case you ever find yourself in the trunk of a car.
Yeah.
It's like there, I like to pull out some how-to moments from horror if I can, and that really does have some good ideas for
it
you.
It was Dakota Fanning was in the Abigail Breslin.
Abigail Breslin.
See, I get them mixed up. Yeah. Abigail Breslin was in the trunk. But yeah, that was decent.
And then another couple that don't answer the phone. which is one of those great 70s exploitation movies that I absolutely love. It's so dumb. And of course, the most important thing is if you just answered the goddamn phone, none of this would have happened. And then, this is one of George's all time favorites. So I love to include it when I can. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. And it's like a DJ, right? Reference. And they call in with the murders, and then the DJ is convinced to just keep replaying the horrible sound of this murder that they've caught via a telephone on the airwaves. So, of course, none of this would ever happen in a million years, and George really, really hates that movie.
I don't care for it.
I like it, and also I thought that was a fairly clever bit. So they didn't make the final list, but I wanted to just mention them.
Fair enough. Okay, so we'll go into the serious ones, though, a top five and a top five with no overlap.
That's right.
So this is all killer, no filler. So Jamie starts us off at number five.
So this is going to be a little bit of a stretch, but this is kind of what I was talking about, where it's a new age and it's not all phones. It's The Cleansing Hour from 2019.
All right, everybody, here we go. 3, 2...
Time to go off script.
So this is about a couple of guys who are doing a webcast where people can call in and chat, and so it's changed what phones are. But they're doing live exorcisms, and except for tonight, they actually get a true possessed person. And as the story builds, you find out that it's not just, it's just a demon. It's a demon with a plan. And when you get toward the end, it's all about the availability of what now the web or what we used to be, just the phone lines, and how the demon takes it over and wants to use it for his own benefit. A real sleeper film. I watched it one night, not even thinking about if it was going to be any good. And I ended up stopping what I was doing and just watching the rest of the film.
I haven't seen that one.
So really enjoyed it.
I think what it does really well is take different elements from older films and reimagine them specifically for kind of the new age of entertainment and communication, right? So it takes some ideas from like Halloween 3 and some obviously from The Exorcist, clearly, but a handful of other movies. And the thing that it kind of reminds me a little bit, if you guys have not seen Late Night with the Devil, it reminds me a little bit of that with this sort of like, you know, we're actively engaging in demonic possession and that's dumb. Let's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that was out.
I have not seen that, but
that
I'm going
brand
this
new. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, it is. It's very good. Yeah.
That is good. Okay, so that's Jamie's number five. Ours is from 2021, pretty recent, and this is The Black Phone.
Would you like to see a magic trick?
Yeah.
You're getting out of here.
How?
There's a combination lock.
What's the combination?
Hang up the phone!
Weapon.
You are special, Vinny.
Please hurry.
Ooh, the creepiest damn thing.
Yeah, that's a good one. Of course, based on the short story by Joe Hill, right? Stephen King's son. And even if you didn't know that, it has a lot of Stephen King vibe going on to it, in it, which is obviously well-earned. But Ethan Hawke is great with that mask as a child abductor, and he's got the young man in the basement, and there's a phone on the wall that shouldn't work, but it does.
Yeah, I think one of the things I like about this is that for a while you think to yourself that the phone is sinister, right? And that's usually how these horror films go, is that the phone is like a vehicle for some sort of a sinister voice. And what you find out later is that, well, I mean, there's something spooky going on over there, but keep answering that phone. Also, I do, you said that about, you know, it's got a very Stephen King vibe. They, of course, expanded the short. Mm-hmm. The script expands the short to make the film feature length. And I feel like that they really mine a lot of ideas that are more common in Stephen King than they are in Joe Hill. And it makes the whole movie, I think, a little bit more kind of robust, you know, and you're more invested in what's happening and what's going on outside, maybe because you're falling back on some of the things that you're expecting to see from Stephen King films.
But they even had to dial it back because in the short story, the grabber is a clown.
Yeah.
And that's a little too Stephen King.
Too on the nose.
But, you know, the magician angle was creepy as well.
Oh, it was super creepy. And Ethan Hawke is great. And
he's
the masks,
yeah.
You know, his masks change throughout the film a little bit. And it's, yeah, but Ethan Hawke is absolutely amazing in this movie. And of course, it's the same director that Scott Derrickson. He's worked with a number of times, mm-hmm. Sinister and films like that. And Derrickson also co-wrote the script. But I feel like they also nail the like mid-70s vibe.
Oh, very
in
much
this
so,
movie.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
the phone kind of stands out as being part and parcel of the time stamp of the movie. It never really feels gimmicky at all.
Yeah, and this one, obviously, the title, this one is all based around the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, the mystery, the story goes through what the boy is able to get from the phone calls, the supernatural phone calls.
Yeah. No, it's I don't think that when I saw it, saw it the first time, I don't think I had particularly high expectations, to be honest with you. But it's a really fun, spooky little movie.
It is.
And they've got great Funko Pops, too.
And they've got they've got great performances all around. The young actors and the actress as well, the young girl, mm-hmm. and the boy are both really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's solid. And it's not particularly, you know, gory or anything.
No, but it's,
but it's creepy.
It is.
And that is our number five in 2021, The Black Phone. Okay, how about four in Jamie Land?
Oh, okay. Well, you all know my love for Miss Adriana Barbeau. So I have to go with the original 1980, The Fog.
There's something in the fog. The fog. What you can't see won't hurt you. It will kill you.
As she plays local DJ Stevie Wayne, as all of these things are going on, so she uses the phone a lot because she's also getting the call-ins. But particularly for me, it's the phone call that she gets from the local weatherman, Dan, who is killed by some of the vengeful ghosts while on the phone with her. she's yelling at him not to open the door. And it's you know, it's very just, it really ramps up that movie. Now, a lot of people will say this is a slow burn throughout the movie. I think this is definitely one of the times where it has you pulled to the edge of your seat to see what's going to happen. And then the way that she uses, once the phone lines are down, the way she uses the broadcast from that light tower to tell people to save her son, it's like a one-way phone call. Okay. And this, you know, her whole thing, oh my God, Stevie Wayne is just one of my, she's my number second favorite DJ next to the Golden Globe.
Well played, sir. Well, this is good because it's not one that would have immediately jumped to my mind about phone calls, mm-hmm. but it's great because now when you put it that way, and yeah, you're right, that's very, very integral.
Yeah, also, I think that one of the things about this film that works the very best is the isolation, the sort of claustrophobic,
yes.
Her character, you really feel for her. She can't leave. Because I think she feels like if she leaves, she can't – first of all, she can't get people to save her son. But she needs to get the information out because people don't know. And there she is. She's stuck in this. And it's in that, like, lighthouse, which is creepy anyway. I think the film as a whole has never worked all that well for me. But the Stevie Wayne part of it, her thread throughout, I think is for me, a lot of ways, it's the saving grace of that movie.
Yeah. Oh, I will. And oh, every time she comes on the screen, I'm just like, oh. And I've got to meet her before and I've told her, so I don't find that this is. Anyway, so what is.
She's so much smaller in person than
I
ever
right?
expected her to be, because she's such like a powerhouse in all the movies. You're like, oh, here she is, Adrienne Barbeau. She's going to kick somebody's ass. And then you meet her and she's like 4'11". And I think, I'm going to have to lift you up to have a conversation.
But yeah, iconic.
Well, I was
no
already
doubt.
Kneeling in front of her, prostrate. So.
That is number four from 1980, The Fog, on Jamie's list. Okay, our number four, a little bit earlier, from 1974. And this is one that is consistently included in a handful of original slasher films. The original Black Christmas.
Hello?
Yeah, it's me.
Who are you? For God's sake, what are you doing?
Who is it?
I'm going to kill you.
And I think, you know, for some people, I think when you hear this topic, you figure Black Christmas is going to be the number one. And the truth is, so many of mine could have been. They were, you know, it's like I was so weighing this and that and this and that. I love this movie, of course. It's one of the few that we kind of rewatch every year. Like, there are so many horror movies. We rewatch them as they come on, like, oh, there it is. But it's one that, you know, every Christmas season we have to rewatch this movie. And there are a million reasons that the movie works. But for me, the glue is how creepy the phone calls are. It's like, it's what he's saying is so random.
Yes.
The voices are so creepy. And sometimes he barks. And, you know, and now, you know, phone calls have been used so often in movies that you're like, why are they still on the phone? You would just hang up the phone. You really would stop being polite after a minute. But at the time, I kind of think that maybe in 1974, you did kind of stick around for a little while and try to figure out what was going on. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that it makes more sense. The voice was actor Nick Mancuso. But when they were filming it, it was just Bob Clark was just reading threatening dialogue. That's what they were reacting to, not the actual voice while they were filming it. But you know what? Their terror, their fright comes across.
Yeah, yeah.
It works.
Olivia Hussey, of course, is so great in this movie. And she's the one who's primarily the one who is on the phone with the killer. Mm-hmm. And she just does a lovely job the whole time.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because a lot of people may remember it was remade. A few years ago, but a different, it's not based around phones.
Yeah, which is, you know, I think, we like the remake more than a lot of people did, and I think that it had a lot of things going for it. But for me, not having that, well, I mean, it's the whole thing is a little bit, not having the phone was a downside to it. I mean, being sort of, there's something about the phone, you're sort of anchored to it, right? It makes you sort of feel stuck. And then there's, at the time, right, when it's just a landline, there's no real way of knowing who you're talking to. And there's something mysterious and spooky about that, mm-hmm. that doesn't it doesn't transcend the time gap, and it's just not the case anymore.
Right.
So it would not have worked, but I think it was something that I missed from the original.
That's why it's interesting to notice here in the last several years how many movies come out that are set pre-smartphone,
yeah.
And you realize really the only reason they're set pre-smartphone is so that doesn't get in the way of their narrative.
Right.
Yes. That's the quickest way to work around it. Well, we'll just move it to before that.
Right. 1988, here we come.
Yeah, exactly. So our number four from 74, the original Black Christmas. Okay, how about the top three?
Well, my number three, we go from really creepy phone calls to really absurd phone calls. So I'm talking about 1982's Lucio Fulci's The New York Ripper.
Somebody called for you.
Yeah, who?
The guy with a strange voice. Said he'd call you back. He sounded just like a duck.
Just like a duck.
The guy who attacked her is our friend who calls and talks like a duck. Well, he's made his first big mistake.
Yeah.
Poor dumb cop. You don't think I'm going to let you pinpoint me with your stupid tracing machines, do you?
The movie on its own is just a great little giallo where, you know, in New York, they're chasing a killer and you've got the two-fingered guy and all of that stuff. But it's the fact that the killer calls and taunts the police with this bizarre Donald Duck voice over the phone. And it's like, what are you supposed to do with that? Are you supposed to go around, you know, canvas in the neighborhood? You know, have you seen a guy with no pants walking around with a duck bill? No. And it comes out a few times throughout the movie. But I feel just like you were saying earlier, it's integral to it because this guy is nuts. Why is he talking like a duck? There's no reason for it. Until the very, you know, last minute of the movie, you're like, ah, okay, you got me there, Fulci, got me.
Can any of us can any of us here do the Donald Duck voice? I cannot.
No, I can't.
No.
It's a special talent.
It is a
special
talent.
About all talent. I can do. Yeah. Besides, I don't want to get that letter from Disney.
It is
so
a
I
fun.
Love that. You guys have seen this one?
Yes, it is. It's a fun, weird movie. And if I think about it now, I'm sure I didn't at the time. But if I think about it now, I think it might have been a little too ordinary if it weren't for those phone calls, you know. It might have sort of been a little too, yeah, okay, like this reminds me of a handful of other movies, this seems pretty
right.
Run-of-the-mill, and then all of a sudden, nope, that's just that's really weird, that's a really weird thing that's happening right now. So and I hadn't thought about that before. It didn't occur to me that really the phone calls are the reason that the movie is as entertaining as it is, although you've got, it's Fulci, so you've got a lot of, it's gory. It's a gory mess, yeah. Of course. But for me, a lot of times, my favorite thing about the best Fulci movies are that they do not make sense. They are
right. They take chances.
They're borderline surreal, you know, the best Fulci movies. And so this one, to me, you know, I feel like this is kind of a little too giallo, really, a little too by the books. And then he's like, nope, look how weird I can be. So that's
and
my favorite
reveal
part
of the killer.
Yeah.
Okay, moving up to our number three. This is one that probably jumps into your head when you're talking about phone calls in horror movies. Yes, from 1979, Carol Kane in the original When a Stranger Calls.
Hello?
Have you checked the children?
What? Hello, could you get me the police?
Well, there's really nothing you can do about it down here.
Have you checked the children?
He's watching me through the windows.
But if he calls again, we can try to trace it.
Why haven't you checked the children?
Please, can't you help me? I'm all alone here. What do you want?
Your blood.
Leave me alone!
Jill, this is Sergeant Sacker. We've traced a call. It's coming from inside the house. Jill, just get out of that house.
This one, of course, all you have to do is say, have you checked the children?
That's right.
And right away, oh, boom. Because it was creepy. I remember very well because I was a teenager when this came out. And it seemed then like to me as a teenager, it seemed just like a classic time in horror movies that we had to go as a group. You had to see Halloween, of course, in the movies at the big screen. And you had to see this and you had to get into an R-rated movie, even though you were too young. But we did it and we were fine.
That's debatable. I did not see this movie when it came out. I do remember, though, I'm going to tell the story. I'm sure I've told it before. So my babysitter was talking about this movie one time on the phone with somebody else, and I just sat rapt listening to the whole thing, the whole as she just sort of dictated what happened. And
All the way, even the ending? The twist?
Yeah, they
spoiler alert, babysitter.
So I wrote it. I wrote it down as best I could, what I thought that the plot of this movie was, and I wrote it as a play. And
wow.
Yeah. And so for our fourth grade. So that year during Holy Week, Tiffin St. Mary's School, that we had all that year we had during the PTO, the classroom would put on a skit at the beginning of the PTO to entertain the parents. And my class, we fell during Holy Week, as it turns out, and we put on When a Stranger Calls, written and directed by Hope Madden. And I didn't really
I
know what happened.
Good money to see that.
The truth is, of course, if you watch the movie, you don't see what happens to the children, and really nobody else dies, right? In mine, the children die, the babysitter dies, the neighbors die, the police die, everybody who comes dies, and the killer, Norman Criminal, he escapes to kill again. So it's actually, to be honest with you, it's a little closer to Funny Games.
Happy Easter, everybody.
And I got in a lot of trouble. Our teacher hadn't been paying attention to what it was we were rehearsing. She just, the kids are going to put on a skit. So she didn't know, Miss Teal, she didn't know. My parents were there. They didn't know. The other kids' parents wouldn't let the kids play with me anymore. I got in a lot of trouble for that. And I'd actually never even seen the movie. I never watched this movie until many years later. I was babysitting late at night up the road from my house, and it came on TV, and I'm like, oh my God, it's When a Stranger Calls, and I watched the movie. And the truth is, the beginning, the first act is very scary. The third act is very scary. The middle two, like the full middle hour, is boring as it can be. It's just a police procedural of boredom and boredom and boredom, and then they get back to the killer at the end.
And
which
it
was
came
also
out
very...
of, we were talking a short film, this came out of a short film. Mm-hmm. Director Fred Walton did a short film called The Sitter, which is basically, I think, just the opening,
right,
which is so good. So then a lot of times when that happens, well, nowadays they a lot of times the director will have the finished film already kind of written, and then you have a proof of concept. But then you have to expand the script a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. It does feel a little bit like filler until we get down to the nitty-gritty and the twist at the end.
And that's the funny thing, too, of course, is that without cell phones, you know, your babysitter would just call you. But, of course, back then you had to get paged from the front of the restaurant. You'd have to go take the phone call. And it was the way they use phones in this is really effective.
Yeah.
Although even from the beginning, you're like, why? I mean, I'm glad she didn't check the children, but she was a bad babysitter.
Yes. I still don't know where the phone calls were coming from, though. God, that is. I really would like to see that play. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was the police. I was the police. I got killed. My twin sister Joy, she was the babysitter. God bless her.
Who was Norman Criminal?
My friend Norman Cook was Norman Criminal. And you know what? Even later, I'm like, why didn't I just call him Norman Crook? What's wrong with me? I know.
They're both awesome.
I know. It was fun. And we had a set. We had like a big box that was made up to look like the TV. And my friend Christine Reinhart, she was inside and she was delivering the news broadcast, you know. Norman Criminal has escaped. Lock your doors and windows. He kills. Yeah.
You know,
I think it was right around then that the parents started to like look at each other, like, what's happening right now?
And it's funny to talk about giving away the ending too, because I don't remember this, but apparently from what I found in researching was that the original trailers for this movie gave it away.
What?
Gave it away, the major plot points as well as the ending.
Like, oh my God.
Wow. But that's When a Stranger Calls from 79, hour number 3.
Coming soon to a playhouse near you.
All right. Oh, now. Okay. So now we get one that is pretty well known on your list. Not a curveball on this one, Jamie.
Although maybe not for the phone
angle.
Well,
I guess that's true.
So I'm interested to see how you work that in. Yeah.
So, you know, talking about that same period, 1978, mm-hmm. Halloween.
Finally. Hello? Hello?
I mean, there are a lot of really, really creepy phone calls in that. There's some fun calls. So there's a lot of that because it's babysitters down the street from each other. And then the friends over here with the marijuana. And so you get the phone call early when Laurie calls Annie about seeing Michael Myers standing, you know, in the backyard,
right,
which was in itself is an iconic scene. But you're in there, like you said, anchored. She can't go very far. She's looking out the window, wanting to know if she says it. And then later on, of course, it comes back to her. And he's not only in the backyard, but he's right up on her. And there's just a lot of phone calls that connect these people who feel isolated, even though they're on the same block. And I just love the way that they use that back then. And again, nowadays, cell phones, it's not, you can walk around the whole house and talk. Back then, you had to have that little circle of where it came out of the wall, and that was as far as you could go. And I just love what they did with it.
No, that's a good take on it, because another one, this is not one that I would have thought of. But if you go with that angle, you've convinced me.
Yeah. One of the things in the Halloween franchise in episode 6, of course, Paul Rudd is a nutball. He's Tommy. And he calls the radio station, the talk radio, all the time. He repeatedly calls, and the people think that he's just this goof, this goon who doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's a conspiracy theorist. And I do like the way – I mean, I like when movies do that. They have people call into radio stations, and I think that that's often an effective tool because the people – even if you're saying the truth, you sound like a nut – who's called into a radio station. And I think that even though Halloween 6 is bad, I mean, I think we all can embrace that.
What?
I know. I like the way they use phones as well.
And it's Paul Rudd, so that's a good thing.
That's right.
There you go. What more could you ask for?
That's
what about y'all? What's your number two?
That's another classic on our number two from 1996. Another one. This is a little more obvious than Halloween. This is the original Scream.
Now, he's taken his love of fear.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney.
One step too far.
Do you like scary movies?
What's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act. She's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
And they get with the phones right from the beginning.
Yes,
which
do.
Has become an iconic device that has been reused and parodied to great effect over the years. And one of the effects of this movie, apparently when this came out, the use of caller ID went up about 3 times since after this movie came out. Because that is, I mean, the original Scream did so many things well that have now become staples, and it really kicked off a whole new wave of horror. And that opening, for so many reasons, one of them is because you had a big star in it that you never expected to get killed in the opening, was just so well done. What a great kickoff to the movie.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I thought it was a fun throwback to the idea of prank callers, which is something that kids today just don't know. They don't know the thrill of prank calls because, of course, on cell phones, you really can't prank call people. People know who they are talking to. Or they just don't answer the phone. You don't answer the phone anymore. But back in the day, you know, you would just you could just call somebody up and have a whole conversation with people you didn't know. They didn't know you. You didn't know them. And it was just like a way to waste time. And I think that this is one of the last, because by 96, that probably wasn't really happening very much anymore. So this was kind of like one of the last throwbacks to that bit of weirdness that really was kind of a pop cultural phenomenon. People really had always done that. And, you know, and of course, you know, what's your favorite scary movie?
Yeah.
Like, that's just a great line. That's a great thing to start off with because, you know, you answer the phone, you're like, I do want to talk about scary. Like that, you know, we saw a meme today, you know, and it was like the husband saying, my wife would never go with a stranger, and the police saying, we have video surveillance of a windowless van with a baby goat, and the husband going, oh, no. The baby goat is wearing pajamas. The husband going, no. But see, that's the thing. This would be how someone could kill me, is prank call me and say, what's your favorite scary movie? And I'd be like, oh, well, sit down. And we could just talk about this until someone breaks in behind me and then disembowels me. That would absolutely be the way I die.
Yeah, and the dialogue, too. In the beginning of the call, you know, it's a little flirty. She's kind of having a little fun. And then it slowly gets more menacing.
It does.
And in this case, as opposed to what we talked about for Black Christmas, the voice that has become iconic is Roger Jackson. And they really were talking to the actors.
Ooh.
They were talking to Roger Jackson. Oh, I guess a lot of them never did meet him, especially on this first production, but they really were having the back and forth with that voice, which is really cool.
Yeah, he's got a great voice. And I think, too, movie nerds watching it, the fact that she got the one wrong, and we all knew it, but we sat quiet in the theater thinking, oh, this movie does. But you know what? It was a Wes Craven movie. We should have known that it was a trap. It was a trap for her. It was a trap for us. And it was one of the early moments where you thought, this is a clever movie, mm-hmm. you know? And of course it is. It's one of the most clever. And I think a whole franchise that episode by episode kind of still stands up.
It does, with varying degrees.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
it definitely does. And, of course, now we've got the good news that Neve Campbell is back on board.
Right.
So we can look forward to more coming up. But the original 1996 Scream is our number two. Okay, got to the top of the mountain, and Jamie's got another goodie.
Yeah, so this one, I don't want to say scarred me because it was in a good way. But it's 1981's Scanners.
There are 4 billion people on Earth. 237 are scanners. They'll control your mind, conquer your will, manipulate your body like a toy. You begin to self-destruct. You pray it will end, and it will. Scanners, their thoughts can kill.
Everybody knows this one. It's the one where the guy's head blows up at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, well, wait a minute. These guys are cyberpathic. Why would they need to be able to use phones? So it's not until you get, I think it's probably maybe 2/3 of the way through the movie when the Cameron Vale, who is the good brother, spoiler alert, ends up using a payphone. And for you kids out there, that was actually a phone that was in a little box and you'd have to pay money for it to call. And he uses it to call in to the company Consec, who's making it, and gets into their computer system on what would used to be used. We would have to use a designated modem call. Again, modems were something that you would use to connect to the internet.
A dial-up. Oh, my God.
Right. Goodbye.
Oh, my God. And he uses it to actually use his powers to connect to the computer, find out some information, and then basically blow the computer systems up. And it's just a really weird, crazy way, because for me, you know, it was before the time I really got into cyberpunk. And, you know, when you would see the amalgamation of humans and robots together. And this was just, it blew my mind. This whole blew my mind. This whole movie is just one of my favorites of all times.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the creep factor is just dialed all the way up to 11. And this phone call for me just cements the fact that that is the best use of a call in almost all the cinema.
Well, you know, another reason for you to check out Late Night with the Devil, there's an opening prologue with some foreboding narration by Mr. Michael Ironside.
And there's you know, the sort of Ed McMahon character that he gets roped into sitting opposite this hypnotist, and the way he's sitting in the look, it's to me, it was clearly patterned after a segment in Scanners. I think we were all sort of expecting his head to explode, honestly, the way that they framed it. So it was great. There were a lot of, I thought a lot of Cronenberg callbacks, and of course we love all things Cronenberg here at Fright Club. I love Scanner so much. We love Scanner so much. And I thought that was a really clever choice of yours.
It was.
Because it's easy to overlook that. But it's also, it's one of those obsessions that Cronenberg would return to again and again, you know, like especially in Videodrome. This and Videodrome, I think, are the most obvious where he's very sort of the way that technology and the human body can be fused together, you know, but now when you look back on it 40 plus years later, it, you know, the technology at the time seemed so like out there. And it really was. If you think about dial up in 1981, no one in 1981 knew what that, but it really was coming. No one knew that. No one had a computer. No one knew it was going to be a part of the phone system. So it's so funny to look back on it now and it seems sort of quaint. But at the time, it really was quite really prescient, very, as all of his films are, very ahead of their time.
Yeah.
And gross. Just a shame. It's so gross.
Yeah. It's just a shame they never made any sequels to that movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Never made any sequels. Nope.
That is surprising.
Well, he's never made any sequels. I mean, The Fly has a sequel, but he didn't make it.
Right, that's true.
I mean, there, of course, have been like five or six that are out there, but I don't think they exist in my mind.
No, they don't. We're going to pretend that they're
the only one. But then you still look at something like Crimes of the Future, and he's still on that theme much so.
Yeah, he returns to the same themes a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, Scanners, Jamie's number one from 81. Okay, our number one, another one that you might just jump to mind. What do you think of this topic, of course? And that is 2002, the American version, The Ring.
I watched the tape.
And that's one that we've said many times. We think it's on the short list of films, remakes, that are better than the original. I think it's better than Ringu myself.
I do. I like Ringu. We're not dismissing it, but the reason that whenever we talk about The Ring, this is the one we choose is because we just prefer it. I think that the way they use – and it is funny because it feels throwback – given the year that it came out, that they were on the phone, it was a landline phone, and they were talking about VHS tapes. I mean, it all seems a little weirdly throwback. The phone calls, the way they're handled, usually when we talk about the movie, we talk about the videotape. We talk about how what they show is the make or break moment in the movie as a scary movie. And of course, they nail that. It's very creepy and hard to figure out, and it's awesome. But the phone calls, too, I think that... that they even answer them, you know, that you're waiting for the voice, that all the voice has to say is 7 days, you know, but then when the little kid, you're like, no, everybody was like, no, no.
Yes.
And then she shouts, leave him alone. And all of a sudden you remember she's Australian because when you shout, your accent comes back. It's a great way that they utilize the telephone and somewhat dated technology throughout the film.
And this
it is
one,
an amazing choice.
Yeah, and it's one that got a green light to be made thanks to the massive success of The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
And the studio gave it the green light. And up until the remake of It, that was the highest grossing horror remake in history.
Oh, wow.
And another one that we also point out, one of the best PG-13.
Yeah.
People forget.
They
it
do.
PG-13.
Because it was scary as hell.
It was.
It was such a scary movie. The face, the first time they show the babysitter's face, you're like, ah, you know? And then, the horse on the ferry, you know? And then when she comes out of the TV, it is an incredibly effective horror film.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays we admit that when we go to review a lot of these new horror movies and we see their PG-13, we immediately think, oh, crap. But you got to remember, it's possible to be scary and PG-13 at the same time. And this is exhibit number one.
Very much so. And thank God we didn't see a nipple in that movie, because otherwise it would have just gone straight to R. Thank you for saving us, Code.
But yeah, obviously based around the phone and just so much so that all you need is the ring of a phone and your heart just jumps out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they do, I think, maybe one fake out where it's not the voice on the phone where she thinks it
is.
And that's fine.
Oh,
one
sure.
is fine. Because, I don't dig a lot of fake outs.
No, you don't dig the fake outs.
But this is so well done.
I want to plug another movie that's out this weekend because we started to watch it and there's a moment and... You realize it's a dream, and I could feel George just stiffen, like, oh, now it's dead to
it's
me
such
now.
Such a cop out.
Yeah. But it turned out we really enjoyed Immaculate.
Immaculate, yeah.
We liked it a lot.
A lot. It was one where about two-thirds through it, I was thinking to myself, okay, if horror fans are coming to this, they're going to be disappointed because this is not really horror. Oh, yeah. I guess
nope,
it is.
It sure is. Gosh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. It's worth checking
it
out
is.
For sure.
Yeah, it is. And you know I'm hard on the Catholic horror.
You are.
I'm a stickler about it. And also... you know what? It's a feminist horror film made by two dudes.
I know. Very surprising.
I do have a couple of nits to pick in that area. But on the whole, I think they channel female rage really, really well.
Yeah, so actually, this is a good – as we tape
this –
it's
a great weekend.
This is a good weekend because you've got that one and you've got Late Night with the Devil in theaters. And then on Shudder, you've got that No One Will Find Me.
You'll never find me. Yeah, which is also – it's very different from those two. It's very atmospheric, just really two characters, but well done. So a lot of great horror to choose from this weekend.
Is that Clint Howard?
No.
No, it looks like him from the side. I
could
saw
see
it this
that.
Morning.
Yeah, I could see that. But no, I can't think of his name. He's got somebody Rock. His last
Brendan Rock.
Yeah, yeah, well, Australian people.
All right, I'm going to find that one.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good one.
But we got a little off the topic. The topic was phones, and we had two great lists and even a couple of two or three really good honorable mentions there to check out. And a couple on Jamie's list I had not heard of or seen. I think you maybe one that you hadn't seen either. So good stuff to go.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, wrong number from 1948. I'll have to go
so
seek that out
some,
right now.
Some homework to do. So that is great.
Yeah, that's a good one. And so many – Silence of the Lambs. Uses phones really well.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street with the big tone coming on the phone. You know, there's a lot. They're
love
really
that phone.
There's
now,
a
does
lot.
That, now, for Silence of the Lambs, will you count like phones in a, you know, how you in a prison? Those kind of type of phones?
I don't see why not.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? It's our list.
If
we
we're
can
making
make up
the rules,
that's
sure.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's a great one.
That is. That's a great one. That's a great one.
So add another one down. Jamie Ray, what of, we know your podcast, of course, Fave Five from Fans, but what else you got cooking?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it now because this is the first time I've officially said it. I'm actually working on a new show. Aside from Complete Disarray with Jamie Ray, it is called Hangin' with Hitch. And what I'm doing is inviting one friend for each of his movies, and we're going to sit down together and watch them and just do commentary throughout the whole thing, talk about it, trying to find
that.
Movies that people haven't seen. Thank you.
I love that.
That is going to come out later this year. I tried to get it for the first quarter, but it's hard to get somebody to sit down and spend a couple of hours.
Yeah.
But I think I've worked it out now, and I've got a few in the can. And so probably this summer, the first one will come back. It's going to be called Hangin' with Hitch.
I'm
just
excited about that.
Fantastic.
I'm going to dial up your show and a Hitchcock movie, and I'm going to witness them simultaneously. I think that would be super, super fun. I'm very excited about this idea.
And then as soon as the show starts, I'm going to turn on Pink Floyd's Dark Side
of the
Moon.
That's right. And
see what happens. No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because I think there are a lot of movies. Everybody knows, most people know the Hitchcock classics, but there's others that people maybe not realize are Hitchcock movies.
Yeah.
That you'll be digging into. So that's fantastic. All right. Well, where can people find you?
I'm nationwide, baby.
You're global. What are you saying?
I am on Twitter slash X at the Fave Number 5 from fans.com. And pretty much everywhere else, it's written out Fave 5 from Fans. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. Well, I don't know if they're still available right now. We'll have to see what the Congress says. But I love for people to interact. I'm always looking for people with great ideas to come on the show. And if you've got something that you're passionate about, please reach out and let me know.
Fantastic.
And I know that you wanted to say hey to one of our favorite people of all time.
That's true. He is the huge supporter of my show and of me personally, Seth Scarius, Beer Nut Number 1.
That's
there
right.
On Twitter. Yeah, he and his wife, they always make me feel good. And I know that they're big supporters of you guys, too. They're there in the area.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah, we get to see Seth the second Friday of every month, almost always.
That's another reason for you to come to town and make a visit.
That's right. Yeah, Seth is the best.
Yeah, always.
He really is. So I just want to say thank you so much for that, Seth, because you really make me feel like I'm doing it right.
Yep, yeah. And we second that. And you can always find us at Fright Club Pod. You can also find the Fright Club Podcast dedicated Facebook group. Just to send in a request to join. We'll get you in there. That's a lot of fun. MadWolf.com is the main website. MadWolf Columbus.
We're also on Instagram.
Facebook and Instagram. That's right. We're on
Fright Club Live.
On Instagram.
Fright Club Live.
Yeah, and we're also on Threads. MadWolf Columbus on Threads. So, man, we're trying to cover it all.
We are.
We're trying to go nationwide like Jamie.
That's right. We're trying to be like Jamie.
So look us all up if you can. We hope you will. And be well. Until next time, she is Hope Madden.
He's George Wolf.
And Jamie Ray says,
stay frightful, my friends.
Yay!